Jim, you need to unmute. Thank you.
The Ten Commandments. Then God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
In the movies and in paintings and in cartoons, we have this image of a dour looking Moses coming down from the mountaintop, hefting large stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on them. Through the lens we have inherited from our civilization, we see this as someone with dominating authority laying down the law. Obey or else. We get that. It's how the world works. Those with the ability to deal out superior violence make laws that must be followed, or else they will punish the lawbreakers. This provides an order for living around other human beings, an order that we have grown so used to that we rarely, if ever, think about alternatives. Our faith tradition guides us away from the common worldview towards the upside-down worldview of love and not fear of punishment as the foundation of living with our fellow human beings. With this alternative lens of love, we can see today's reading not as God laying down the law, but as God providing us the means to live together in harmony and justice, and therefore, hopefully, peace. The setting of the reading is in the middle of nowhere. A group of escaped slaves have embarked on a journey not only to a new land, but to a new way for humans to live together so as not to replicate the exploitative and violent system they have fled. The commandments have three main parts, which focus on behavior towards God, towards neighbor, and towards ourselves. Jesus provided a shorthand version of this approach when he offered two commandments: love God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus rightly put love as the organizing principle and power behind God's alternative way of living in community. The first commandment is to have no other gods. Since the God of the Exodus stands on the side of the slaves, and all the other gods supported the inequitable, violent order of civilization, it makes sense to not follow those other gods. This is less about God being jealous and more about being clear about choosing the radical alternative worldview and values this God offers the world. Then there's this commandment about idols. Idols are access points to the ultimate truth that represents our idea of power. The problem is that desiring an access point comes out of the domination worldview. Access points to the divine are places of special access, meaning access that only some people can obtain. They get it if they join the right religion, or if they pray at a sacred site, or if they participate in the right ritual, believe the right dogma. Then they can have special access to the divine, and special access will lead to improved outcomes. But the radically different worldview offered by the God who sides with slaves points us away from notions of special access and towards the idea of universal access. Everyone, everywhere, has access to the love of God, and nothing we do can alter or improve on that. All we can do is decide whether we choose to accept that love and live as reflections of it. Those are the first commandments. The last six commandments are direct ways to maintain equitable and so hopefully peaceful relationships with others. They are fairly basic as far as lists of behaviors go. These are behaviors that bring harm to others. And so by not doing them, we avoid the idea that somehow we are disconnected from the well-being of those around us. In the middle are the two commandments about honoring parents and honoring the Sabbath. To honor your parents had particular meaning in a community which sought to maintain a worldview in direct opposition to the dominant worldview of everyone else. Imagine that worldview as an island in the sea. The sea was the dominant worldview of civilization. The island was that radical alternative offered by the God who stood with slaves. If you choose to leave the island, no matter which direction you go, you'll end up in the sea, the very same sea. The radically different worldview of the community of escaped slaves had to be handed down from generation to generation. They weren't going to get it somewhere else. If you walked away from the community of your parents, you would be walking directly into the worldview of domination. And then there's the commandment to make the Sabbath holy. If the first commandments are about loving God and the last are about loving neighbor, then this is about loving self. Sabbath is about rest. It's about taking time every week to disengage from the demands of the world around us. Like our daily bread, this weekly rest is meant as a gift from God. Disengaging doesn't mean finding more enjoyable ways to spend time mired in the values of domination. It means resting and immersing ourselves in the alternative worldview God's love offers us. And then finding ways to recharge ourselves for the difficult work of challenging the ways of the world throughout the rest of the week. In Sabbath rest, we step away from anxiety and fear, from the unending race to succeed and accumulate. This is how we love ourselves. It's challenging for us these days, this understanding that Sabbath rest is found in the context of a community rooted in the alternative values of God's love. The world is always trying to push us into smaller and smaller circles. But alone or in nuclear family groups, it's difficult to avoid despair about the state of the world and our ability to move the world in a very different direction. We need each other. There's a link between the universal consciousness of God's love and the day-to-day behaviors, like not lusting after what your neighbor has. To live into the love of God is to care for neighbor and self. Some people taking a psychedelic drug have profound experiences in which the limitations of self fade away and they feel connected to a universal consciousness often centered in love. When such experiences happen, it leaves a lasting alteration about how these people see themselves and the world. Other people have similar experiences through some sort of deep spiritual practice. And some have it amidst a profound emotional crisis. But we don't need to have the experience of this universal consciousness. We can simply choose to believe it's there, to believe in a loving God, and live our lives accordingly. Belief isn't a feeling, it's a choice. It's that choice that sits at the heart of Jesus' commandments to love God, neighbor, and self. And it's what sits at the heart of these Ten Commandments. God, neighbor, and self are all connected in the love of God. All the hurtful, harmful thoughts and actions in us and in the world are there to protect and assert our sense of self from others or over others. We have been taught by uncounted generations to close ourselves off from the universal unity of God's love. We make better soldiers. We make better consumers. We make better slaves if our worldview is shrunk down to make us isolated, fearful individuals protecting or asserting our sense of self. Life, as we've come to know it, with all its pain, fear, and loss, is a transient projection, a movie screen dramedy placed in front of our eyes, blocking the wonder of a sunset or a honeybee, blocking our empathy for others, blocking our connection to the undying unity of all things in the boundless sea of the unconditional love that is God. God, neighbor, self, there is no separation but what we create. The reality humanity has constructed is a feeble lie. We are all of the same tribe. We are all of the same family. We are all connected, not only to each other, but to the honeybee and the stars. When we cut ourselves off from our most profound connection through God's love, we lock ourselves within a collapsing cycle of fear and harm. There's nothing to win. There is no need to assert or defend our egos. There is only love to experience and share in ways practical and profound. That is the truth that liberates us from mute acceptance of systemic harm. That is the love that frees us from anxiety. There is no special substance to ingest or special spiritual practice required. Though some have achieved enlightenment, many who have sought universal truth through drug or guru have done more harm than good. We don't need to feel it. We just need to choose to believe in the unconditional love of God and live within the logic of that choice. Live it till you love it. Share it to heal the world. And in so doing, be healed. Amen.